The following podcast is a B&E Network exclusive.
I don't want to say anything about anything.
Everybody stop talking. Okay, here we go.
Warning, this podcast contains strong language, which may be unsuitable for children, and stupid humor, which may be unsuitable for adults. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Welcome to the Shit Show.
Coming to you from the basement on a hill where the cats will stare and purr loudly while you're trying to pleasure yourself. What? This is Scary as Shit, sex for your ears. My name is Anthony, that's Kevin on the couch. Say hello, Kevin.
Hello.
Tonight we have music from Donnelly Family Reunion, and of course we'll take a look at the news of the dead. We will review The Hallow, and as always we'll play a little game we like to call the Seven Deadly Questions with our special guest host, Tony Bonacci. How are you?
Good. How's it going with you?
Good, man. Second time we've got to hang out.
Yep.
So you are guest number three, I think, who has recorded on my album.
Awesome.
Which, again, I'll state for the record, nobody's heard yet.
Oh, dang.
I'll get that over to you. So thanks for coming over.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
So we have some stuff to get to, but let's tackle some nonsense real quick.
D, go break the ice.
What? Yeah. Why me?
Yeah, someone's got to do it. Just go. What the hell are you talking about? Who are you talking to? What the hell does this have to do with anything? Tell me what's happening!
What's wrong is the eye.
Why would I don't even know why you would say that. That
they made me feel self-conscious.
Did they?
Is it off-putting? It doesn't look real.
That skin tone is a good match. Oh, well, when you move the other one, I guess I can tell a little bit, if I'm being honest.
What the hell was that?
Genital thieves thwarted. After years and years of having his penis stolen, a town in France has come up with a solution to prevent further vandalism of a statue of Hercules. Create a prosthetic, removable penis that can easily be attached or removed, said the deputy mayor. Considering his fragile manhood, we've chosen to give him a removable prosthetic that we can add to the statue before each ceremony. This is the best solution. Otherwise, you just end up constantly chasing after the anatomy of Hercules. I mean, everybody kind of goes through that in life at some point, right? Chasing after the anatomy of Hercules.
Of course.
Smart move, or just how about let's have him go penisless? Anyone?
I
no comment.
I guess I don't really have a comment. I mean, it's kind of a funny thing to have to deal with.
It is.
I think prosthetic.
You think it's a good choice?
And make them all different sizes every year.
You know, I think it'd be a great idea if like it's a prosthetic and it's different for every like holiday season. It's like, you know, for Christmas it's all like lit up and sparkly and everything. It's like a different one that they pull out for every month of the year.
Different size, different color, just
honor
everything.
Donnelly Family Reunion, never going back.
Back. Love is bleeding, needing death, bleeding every day.
my way home. The ghost is howling, haunting me, prowling in the night. The sun is blinding, if I only know. Bones are mounting, drowning me, crowding in my mind. Sorry that you heard me say. Broken floorboards in this empty house, reminding me of what it really happened. Flesh is burning, blackened by the sun, and memories crashing through the windows. Take this broken glass.
If you like the music we play on the show, make sure to check out our all-new Spotify playlist. Every month, we'll update it with music from the bands we're playing on the show, as well as music from other bands we love. Just search Scary As Shit in Spotify. So let's get right to the headlines.
Bring out your date.
Here's one.
Ninepence.
I'm not dead.
What? Nothing. Here's your ninepence.
I'm not dead.
Here. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not.
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
News of the dead.
Clown for Hire. Pennywise is coming. Stephen King's It is getting a big screen adaptation hitting theaters September 8th, 2017. Andy Muschietti, who did Mama from 2013, is slated to direct, and filming begins this summer in the beautiful city of Toronto, Canada. Are we excited? Tony, did you see the made-for-TV movie that, from the
yes,
early 90s?
Like, I absolutely love the original It.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes me think, oh, dear God, I hope the new
thing
is
yeah, you
be
commented
good.
On Facebook.
Yeah, because honestly, I usually try to do research before I talk shit about like a new thing like that.
Right.
But I need to study up on what the details of it are.
Well, so it's been kind of in pre-production limbo for a long time. And there was another director attached to it. And his original thought was he was going to split it off into two parts, two movies, and the first would center around the kids, the second would center around the adults. But I think this new guy is going to just, you know, put it all together. And you know, there's no casting that's been announced. I mean, nothing.
Oh, okay.
But they are going forward with it. Filming does begin this summer, so
man.
I'll definitely go see it.
They didn't say anything about who was going to be Pennywise.
No, there was this guy who was attached to the original director, but it's all kind of started over now with this new guy. So,
well, we'll have to see what happens.
I know. Kevin,
what do you guys think?
What do you think?
I mean, I agree that the original was awesome. I'm always skeptical about remakes. I hope it's good.
Yeah.
I know that like there was one casting thing that they did have when the previous director was attached, Will Poulter.
Yeah.
And I guess he's still
he's in the running, but I mean
still like up there as long as his schedule is
right.
Is matching.
I don't know who that is, so
yeah, I'm gonna have
you
to look him up.
No, well,
I'm gonna
read
about all that tomorrow.
Was he in?
He was in. He played the son. Or the fake son in We're the Millers. He was in The Maze Runner. Those are the only two things that I know.
Oh, I never saw any of those.
Okay. He's kind of weird looking. He looks like, you know, he could pass as like, you know, the offspring of
Tim Curry. Oh, well, so shit. There you go.
I mean, he does look like he could play a really creepy clown.
Oh, boy. Is that a, it's like a backhanded compliment.
I don't know. It could be.
An Avengers style universe for monsters. This week, it was reported that Courtney B. Vance has signed on with previously announced Tom Cruise to star in The Mummy. Universal Pictures is resurrecting its line of monsters in hopes of creating a Marvel-type universe in which different stars will appear in interconnected monster movies. Sounds cool. Hate Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Well,
I used to like him, but now I don't like him.
Okay, what is it for you guys that makes Tom Cruise so unlikable?
I think it's his actual personality and like the things I've seen him do on
Agreed.
TV and stuff like
Agreed.
That.
Yeah.
I just don't like short people.
And also, I mean, come on, Scientology.
Yeah. Let's get real. But I do kind of like this. I love that, Universal's bringing back the monsters. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm excited to see where they go. I hope we get like one of each. You know, I'd love to see a Dr. Jekyll. I'd love to see a Creature from the Black Lagoon, a Phantom of the Opera, all, you know, each one of them. Yeah. I think it'd be really cool.
Yep.
Kevin, no?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Only if they're done right.
Well, of course. But, yeah. I mean, so, you know, Tom Cruise signs on for one. It's already going to be a big budget, right? And so I'm always a little weary of, like, big budget movies.
Yeah.
Unless it's Star Wars.
And they don't mean that the big names are going to be, like, the monster, do you think, do they?
No, no. Tom Cruise, like, plays some Navy SEAL.
Oh, okay.
Who's looking for...
He's fighting the monsters or fighting
I
with
guess,
them?
I guess. Fighting. Oh, I mean, he's just in The Mummy. I don't know.
We'll have to see.
Yeah. IFC gets in the ring with Ash versus Evil Dead. John C. McGinley will play the title role in IFC's upcoming comedy horror series, Stan Against Evil, written by The Simpsons' Dana Gould. Stan Against Evil follows a New England sheriff who has recently lost his job after losing his temper at his wife's funeral. The new sheriff, played by Janet Varney, helps Stan to see a plague of demons haunting their town, and they team up to fight them off. Sounds fun. Sounds like Ash versus Evil Dead, which I haven't seen yet, but they're doing a Starz preview, so I'm going to try to get that watched before they take it away. But I do like John C. McGinley.
I don't know who he is.
Like,
but maybe I would recognize
Dr. Cox from Scrubs.
Oh, okay.
The, you know, the tall, skinny, yeah. That guy. No?
That guy. I don't think I've ever seen Scrubs.
Do you know who John C. McGinley is? You're looking at your phone.
I was looking at my phone.
You recognize him?
I was looking up porn.
He's in Office Space. He's in Platoon. He's in everything. Anything?
No, I think what am I looking for?
John C. McGinley.
John C. McGinley porn. Oh, God. Well, anyways, I think we're gonna see a bunch of...
Oh, I know who that is.
After the success of Ash versus Evil... Have you seen Ash versus Evil Dead yet, Tony?
Is that a new thing? Or is it one of the old things?
No, it's it's like...
I haven't seen the new project.
Evil Dead, yeah. Have you seen it yet, Kev?
I haven't, no.
But is it like Bruce Campbell?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, apparently it's great. So
then I want to see it.
Yeah.
Because I've seen those old ones, but not for a long time.
But I think we're going to see, you know, a few kind of knockoffs. Don't watch the videotape. Rings, the third installment to the 2000 film The Ring, and starring Johnny Galecki, will hit theaters on October 28th, 2016. Paramount is hoping to mimic Lionsgate's success of the Saw franchise or their own Paranormal Activity franchise by possibly releasing a yearly Ring movie starting with Rings, which takes place on an airplane, apparently. Interesting. So, like, at CinemaCon in Vegas last week, they, like, dropped this trailer, this, like, pre-trailer thing, little teaser for Rings.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys have you seen? I've only seen the first one. I didn't see Ring. Nope. The Ring 2. Did you see the Ring?
Oh, I've seen like the originals.
Yeah,
yeah. And I thought those were cool, but the new idea sounds a little weird.
Yeah, I still think the Ring is scary as shit.
Yeah,
it's super scary. But so what do you think about this idea? Like, is it worthy of a yearly release? Like Saw, you know, I mean, granted, it's almost like torture porn, but you know, they keep coming up with ways to torture and murder people, which is, I mean, cool, I suppose, if you like the horror genre. But like, how far can they go with The Ring, you know?
I don't know. I mean, like you just mentioned like Saw, how it was kind of like the same thing. I never saw that being an annual thing. I watched every one of those, and I, for the most part, enjoy that series.
Yeah.
So I mean, as long as they have a plan and they're doing it well,
yeah,
go for it.
I think it's weird. Well, no, it might be fine. People that really love that might be into it, but I personally wouldn't watch it.
The paranormal thing too. Like, you know, I went and saw the first one. My wife dragged me to the second one because she still loves them, and then I gave up. But like, people go nuts about that stuff, like the paranormal movies, and
yeah.
So I mean, it's a money grab, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, whatever. Let the studios do their thing. And finally, Freddy and a stoner joined the Dark Tower. Fran Kranz and Jackie Earle Haley have been cast in the upcoming adaptation of Stephen King's fantasy series, joining Matthew McConaughey and Idris Elba. Kranz will play the sidekick to Elba's Man in Black, and Haley will play Richard Patrick Sayre, the vampire leader. I like Jackie Earle Haley.
Mm-hmm.
He's a creep. You know who he is, Tony?
No.
Short
Don't.
Guy.
I have no clue.
No? Yeah, he's like he plays, he's a total character actor, so
maybe if I saw him, that's like a lot of actors that I don't know the name.
But like with Jackie Earle Haley, you could look at his face and be like, yeah, I still don't know who that is. Because like he's all, you know, he played Freddy in the remake.
Oh, okay.
But I like this casting. I mean, I've only seen this Kranz guy in The Cabin in the Woods, which of course is one of my favorite movies. And he's hysterical in it. And so I can only assume he will play sort of a comedic-ish role to Idris Elba's very serious character.
Could be. I've only read like the first book, The Gunslinger. I kind of want to read the other ones because these don't sound like characters that were in that very first book. They sound
really,
or maybe it's just because it was so long ago that I read that, but I don't remember them.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, I have every intention of reading that entire series before this movie comes out.
Before the movie comes out?
Yeah.
You got a year.
I think I can do it. There's only like 8 books.
Oh, God.
8, like, 1,200 page books.
Tony, are you taking that challenge?
That would be more than I have ever read. I think I've read 8 to 12 books.
Total.
I just stole the two numbers you said. Well, you said 1,200, but still.
Hey, guys, stay up to date on any breaking story by checking out our social media pages. We're on Twitter at Scary Shit Radio. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/scaryasshit and Tumblr at scaryasshit.tumblr.com. And as always, you can send in your comments and questions and money, why not, to scaryasshit666@gmail.com.
Wait a minute. I know who you are. Yeah, but I heard you were dead.
Tony Bonacci with 2 C's. Welcome. Yep. Welcome to the basement.
Thank you very much.
So we met, you rode out to Bob's with me.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like you kept up that relationship. He just refurbished a little toy for you.
Yep. He refurbished an 8-track tape recorder for me.
Excellent. And so Tony sang on the cast recording of my musical, and he did a splendid job. And
thank you.
I made you sing incredibly high that night.
the highest I've ever gotten. Yeah.
And it sounded
he
terrific.
He kicked me in the nuts, people. Yeah.
So I'm excited to have you over here because you've been on a bit of a film circuit or a festival circuit.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your short, The Inselberg Effect.
Okay. Yeah.
So tell me about it.
So I made a short film called The Inselberg Effect, and right now it's been in maybe 6 or 7 film festivals. So
amazing.
We're waiting to hear back from like a few more. Like we're waiting on about 30 or 35 more to hear back from. So.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's been awesome.
So do you have to, I assume you have to like, to apply or send in a submission, you have to pay for that too?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So what we did was we actually had an Indiegogo nice. Thing yeah. for to raise money for submitting the film. So we had the Indiegogo, we raised like $1,500.
Wow.
And then there's two different companies that are like websites. One is Film Freeway and one is Without a Box. And so we uploaded it to both. And it's really convenient because you upload your film to one, you know, like one server or whatever. Right. And you put all your info in and anything you'd want to say, like a cover letter or whatever. And then from there, you can submit and pay online to any festival. So.
Holy smokes. That's mm-hmm. really cool, man.
So it makes it really convenient.
So tell us about the... you sent me a screener and I watched it while my son was napping one day and shot you a message back and said, I fucking loved the movie. It was.
Thank you.
It was funny and like dark. Mm-hmm. I mean, right up my alley.
Yeah, it's supposed
alley.
To be a dark comedy.
So. Yeah. I mean, you nail on the head. So run down a premise for us.
Oh man, I wish I had the written synopsis because my friend wrote it. My friend Scott Pittock wrote it.
Okay, now is he from Omaha?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he actually just won best feature screenplay, and best Nebraska feature screenplay at the Omaha Film Festival. So
awesome.
For a different thing,
right?
So. Yeah. And so anyway, it's basically like this weird like divorce triangle, like this creepy thing where. I'm trying to think of if I should give away what happened. I guess it doesn't matter. I can give it away. But so basically this guy comes home to find that his wife left him and left him a note. And so he goes to his friend. He meets up with his friend at a coffee shop and tells him the story about how his wife left him. And his friend's like, oh, we'll read this book. This guy went through the same exact thing you went through. So he recommends this local author and he slides the book over to him. And he gets super into the book and it's like... oh man, like I'm really into this because it's the exact same thing. Like this author's wife left him and then he goes to work and his boss is like a complete dipshit. And his boss is like, oh, well, now that she left you, would you mind if I asked her out? Like, because he had met her a few times. And so he was like asking permission to ask out. So the main character attacks his boss. And then the next scene is him in anger management because he had to go to anger management for attacking his boss. And then the author just comes strolling in. So he's like, what the hell? Like, what are you doing here? And so he meets the author and he's like, I just read your book. Like, I'm so fascinated by this. You've helped me through all this because you went through the same thing. And he ends up hanging out with the author. But then the twist of it is, I should just give it
away. No, don't.
Doesn't matter.
Don't, no. Well, it's up
you don't
to
think
you.
So? Because I don't know if anybody will see it because it's like not public right now anyway. But
oh, well, I mean, yeah, it's up to you.
Okay. Man. It takes him down a dark journey. I'll just say that.
There you go.
I don't know. I don't want to give it
yeah.
away.
Yeah. And I mean, I didn't see it come in.
Yeah.
So who were the guys like, did you guys have auditions for this or is
no,
it just
not
like
at
your
all.
Friends?
Like I always, since we're in Omaha, like there's not like a huge pool of actors. Like my friend Martin, who played the younger main guy.
Okay.
He's my friend who actually is an actor. Like he's done other shorts and stuff like that.
Okay.
And so he considers himself an actor, but the other guy, Scott Dombeck, the older guy, he's just a guy who I had met, like that always would come into my work when I was working at a cafe. And so we became friends first. And then I just like realized like he is such a character. I have to have him and stuff. Cause like, well, you know, like, isn't he a character? Like he's just,
is that
like,
him basically?
Kind of. I always make him be creeps. You know what I mean?
Okay.
He's just a normal
oh, yeah,
guy.
He's creepy.
He's always a normal guy, but he's really good at coming across
okay,
as being like
okay.
a creepy guy. But
he
is real and normal in real life. I promise. Yeah. But, so I always cast him as like a weirdo or something. And, he's always like, God damn it, Tony, you always make me be a weirdo. And I'm like, yep. Sorry. So yeah, so that's how I cast. Like I'll cast people I know or friends or people that I know are just like good. They would be good for a role.
Right.
Like even if they're not an actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly, this sounds mean, but like I find that like more normal people are usually better actors than the people around that say that they're actors. Like for the from my own experience
right.
anyway, like if I had an audition, I feel like there I'd probably find some good stuff, but a lot of the people would just be kind of cheesy. And like, I don't know. I just like casting everyday people.
Yeah.
For roles. So.
So, okay, how long did it take you to film this? Because the movie's like 30 minutes long, right?
About 28
how,
minutes.
Okay, 28
yeah,
minutes. So
yeah.
How long did it take to film the whole thing?
It was basically a total of like 4 full shoot days, which would be like 10 hours. Like,
okay.
But we didn't do like 4 10-hour days. We
right.
did like, you know, we had like 2 10-hour or 12-hour days. And then we had like 4 little half segment days where like, you know, the coffee shop scene, we'll go there. And
yeah.
we were there for like 4 or 5 hours.
Okay.
And then a different scene, you know, the office scene, that was 3 or 4 hours. So basically a total of about 4 10-hour days. So,
nice.
Yeah,
and like, you just shot around town. Like the coffee shop was Aromas, right?
Yeah, that was Aromas in Benson. The house and the farm, like the wood stuff was
yeah.
all out in I want to say Gretna. I think it's
okay.
Gretna. My friends have this farmhouse out there. And
okay.
They, yep. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So congratulations and
thank you.
So where are you? Are you going? Are you headed off somewhere to another festival next?
The next one that I know I'm going to is the there's another Nebraskan one called the Prairie Lights Film
okay.
Festival. Yeah. So
cool.
So that is the next one, and so I just got back from Houston.
Yeah.
And I was at Houston World Fest, which is a big festival, but the day of our screening, it seemed like it wasn't that big. There weren't that many people, so we were kind of like, ah, damn.
Oh.
But, you know, we had an awesome trip anyway, and we were glad that we missed the floods. We were like, oh, my God, because,
yeah.
like, did you guys hear about
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right when we got back, it was like 10 days later, there was that huge, the whole city was like
yeah.
flooded, so we were happy we avoided that.
Well, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about, you are... Getting the old band back together.
Yeah.
The Benningtons.
Uh-huh. The Benningtons. So we, I recently had a group called the Derby Birds
right.
and we kind of just, we're still like a band, but we're just taking a break. I don't want to be cheesy and say a hiatus.
Right.
but yeah. So then I want to make another album with my sister. We had a band called the Benningtons and, with that new tape recorder, we're hoping
yeah.
to make a cool album.
Right.
Yeah. So we want to record it on that 8-track and I think it'll be sweet.
That's
so.
Cool. Play some shows around town or
yeah.
yeah.
Yep. We'll definitely play shows and stuff like that.
That's cool.
I just need to get to write and not
oh,
be lazy.
Yeah.
Yep, so
totally understand that. Anything else going on? Tell me about your website.
So my website is just my name. So it's tonybonacci.com.
Two
and that's
C's.
Where I upped it. Yep. TonyBonacci.
And you
if
up-
you could see me, I just looked like I wasn't sure. I was thinking of it. And yeah, so just myname.com. And I update everything I do on there. So any creative thing I do, whether it's, you know, just like photos or like a film or music stuff or
yeah.
helping on somebody else's music video or just whatever, I'll
Sweet.
Post on there. So that's a good update.
Good deal.
Then,
okay. Well, yeah, we'll send out a link to that in the show notes and on our
yeah.
social media pages.
And I'm making a new short right now. Like I shot one day of a new like zany comedy, kind of like goofy comedy with this local comedian girl, Michelle Murphy.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. She's super funny.
So who wrote that?
She did.
Okay.
And her main thing that she has like that's out there in the public is her Instagram, which is Michelle Instagrams.
Okay.
So if you follow that, they're just hilarious. Like,
nice.
She makes hilarious Instagram posts. And she the way I describe her to people is that she's basically like a Saturday Night Live cast member. Like,
nice.
She's just that type. You know what I mean? Like a very specific like comedian.
Yeah.
So it's been pretty funny so far. We have like one more day of shooting. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we get to the fun part of the interview, like how big is a crew? Like for, you know, for like the Inselberg effect or this short that you're shooting right now.
So basically on stuff like that, where it's either low budget or no budget, it's just whatever, honestly, whatever you can get put together.
Okay.
So for me, like on Inselberg effect, we had like a camera guy,
okay.
the cinematographer, like, well, that's one and the same on that.
Okay.
And then like a first AC, which is the assistant camera guy. Doing like focus or whatever else they need.
Okay.
A sound person doing like the boom and the sound and stuff like
okay.
that. And then what else do we have? I had a producer. Who else did we have on that? So yeah, it's pretty small. Like That's when cool. it's on something like that, you know, something like 5 to 7 people, something like that. So.
Right on. That's cool. Well, you know, the actual reason we have people come over to the basement on a hill is to play our favorite little game.
The 7 deadly questions.
The 7 deadly questions. You told me you're a little nervous about these.
Yep.
Okay. Well, for anyone tuning in for the first time, the deal is we ask our guests the same 7 questions every single week. So let's get right to it. Question number 1. What is your favorite horror movie?
Well, it's funny that you ask because we already talked about it. It.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, honestly, it's my favorite. It's always been my favorite. I think it's because it was ever since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And like that was like the best movie to watch as a kid and be scared of.
Oh my God, for sure. That's cool.
Especially when Georgie was like when he pulls him down the sewer or rips of course. Off his like arms or whatever.
That's the scariest part of the book too, yeah. I think. It's terrifying.
I love that. Yeah.
Okay, question number 2. How would you want to die in a horror movie?
Damn. That one's hard. Maybe go through a tube like Augustus Gloop on what's it called? But actually drowned in chocolate.
In chocolate, yes.
Yes. I'd want to squeeze through a tube and then die.
Okay. Okay. Best answer to that question so far. I got to write this down. I take notes on all of these. Okay. Augustus
he
on Willy Wonka.
He wants to die Willy Wonka style.
Yeah. Probably going to have awkward That's answers. Awesome.
All right, question number 3. What's your favorite scary book?
And this is what I was telling you. I don't know if I've ever read a scary book besides like... Actually, no. I think I one time read that compilation of scary stories or something right. like... 10 of the scariest stories or something like that. And I don't even remember it, but like I said, I would have to say maybe the closest thing to a scary book that I've ever read was like Angels and Demons or something. I'm not a horror reader.
No, it's totally fine. I'm not taking any notes down. I'm not writing down Angels and Demons. I just can write N-A. Non. Okay, question number 4. What has been... Okay, first of all, do you dress up for Halloween?
Sometimes. Still? Okay. Sometimes.
So... from, you know, since you can remember, what has been your favorite Halloween costume?
Oh, my dear Lord. The thing is that I have 2, but I'll just tell you what I was last time, and it's probably my favorite. Roseanne.
Were you really?
Yes, I was seriously Roseanne. I should find the picture for you.
How long ago was that?
I think it might have been this most recent, like last Halloween. Yeah.
Yeah. How did you do that?
And then before that, I've been Wolverine a couple times. I still have like my claws and stuff.
How did you dress up like Roseanne?
So I got like 90s mom clothes, like like denim and like floral, and then I got like these white like smacky tennis shoes, like Velcro, like and it's just you'll just have to see it, and then like a black wig, and like I put pillows under my shoes, so like I just like made myself like really fat and like kind of big, and then I had like so mom denim jeans, like you'll just have to see the picture. It's ridiculous. It's so insane, but it was a hit though. People liked it, so
that's great. That's a really good one.
Because I love Roseanne.
Do you really?
Yeah, I completely love Roseanne. I always tell people I would do her. Isn't that awkward? But
that,
I don't
that's
care.
Scary as shit. Is what
I,
that
really
is.
I know. See how I'm trying to tie it together.
Really gotta love Roseanne if you're making statements like that.
I know. My girlfriend loves when I say that.
Well, now it's recorded for posterity. Number 5. What has been your most terrifying nightmare?
Oh, maybe just recently. Well, I might as well go with what I remember.
Yeah, it's
because
fine.
Recently I had this night. Okay, this was like, I don't even know what you would call this, a dream within a dream. But I was on a plane and I would listen to how many layers there are. Well, dream stories are never entertaining besides to the people saying it. But so I was watching a movie on the headrest television on the plane. And then there was like a movie about a plane like beginning to like start to go on a descent to crash or whatever.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, crazy, we're on a plane. And then all of a sudden we started having turbulence. But then all of a sudden there was flames out the window and people are like, oh, fuck, like we're going to die. So then it was so like vivid and real. And I thought I was genuinely going to die. So I was like, oh, dear God, like forgive me for I have sinned or something like that. And then so I was just like accepting that I was going to die and laying back in my chair. And then I woke up. And I was like, oh, good, I didn't die. It was just a dream. But then I actually woke up again in real life. And then I was like, what the? But that was, it was genuinely the freakiest because it was like so realistic at the time. Like it was so real. I was just like, oh my God, I genuinely thought I was going to die.
You know, okay, so here's
it wasn't like a monster story, but
still. No, well, it's still scary if you're, you know, if you're scared. The third Ring movie, Rings, mm-hmm. the teaser trailer that they showed was something sort of like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Like all layery and whatnot?
Yeah, and like the, crazy. You know, the, what's her name, Samara, or not Samara, whatever, like crawls out of the well mm-hmm. on, like they're watching the movie on the airplane and... Like she's,
because she's on the plane. Yeah. Rings on the plane.
Right. Oh God, it's gonna be so bad. Your dream is still scary, Tony. Okay,
you had to be there.
Number six, you're in a zombie apocalypse and you have one weapon. It is not a gun.
Okay.
What is it?
Damn. Can it be multiple of one type of weapon?
Sure, why not?
Grenades.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Because that way you could stave them off all at once. Like, just throw a grenade and, like, you know. I don't know why I thought of that, but
no,
I just
that
thought
works.
It would be awesome. Grenades.
That works. I'm writing it down. Grenades. All right, and finally, question numero seven.
Okay.
Who would win? You see the figures in front of my computer here.
Okay.
Who would win, Jason, Michael Myers, Leatherface, or Freddy?
You know, I think Freddy would. Freddy's a favorite. Yep, he's awesome. He's gonna destroy their asses.
Do you have any reasoning behind that?
He's not just the rest of the guys are just like these realistically physical killers. Freddy's more like in the dream world. He has more layers to him.
Okay.
He can intimidate.
Okay.
He can like reach his arms out all along and like, I don't know. He can just do different stuff.
Okay. So do we need to take Freddy out of this? Because I feel like...
Does everybody pick Freddy?
Why would we take Freddy out of it?
No. Actually, Freddy and Jason were tied just until you said Freddy. It's 4-3-2. I can't remember. Freddy is up on Jason by one. Leatherface has two votes mm-hmm. because I think people feel sorry for him. But
who won in that movie? Wasn't there Freddy versus Jason? Like,
yeah.
Who, did somebody win?
Kevin?
Like, cause I don't remember.
I never saw it.
I saw it, but I don't remember. Or
well,
was it one of those
very,
things?
The very end shot was. I think the very end shot was Jason Voorhees walking out of like a lake holding Freddy's head.
Oh, okay.
Dismembered head, but his head was laughing.
Oh, so it's like one of those ambiguous, like, oh, nobody really won. It was kind of a tie.
Right.
Gonna,
I think you're right because now I semi remember that.
Now they're gonna
I'm pretty sure that was like the
Jason's gonna go have sex with Freddy's head. It won't be weird at all.
Man, okay, yeah. So we live in like the ghetto. It's like rough. They're just gangsters and shit. We have to keep
podcast
all the windows
makes us
closed.
No money. We can't move.
Like there's like a shootout going on regularly.
Why do you say shit like that? Why does he say shit like we live in the ghetto and there's shootouts regularly? Just for the clarity of the podcast, there's not.
Two versus three, nerds with beers and opinions.
A weekly podcast hosted by Cody, Kyle, and Greg.
New episodes every Thursday at bmoviesandebooks.com.
Let's get to the movie review for The Hallow. Funny thing is, we just talked about this on the big show with Monty Ike two shows ago. It was being released on Blu-ray. And I didn't realize that it was coming straight to Netflix, which is, you know, never an awesome sign. But The Hallow, not rated, 1 hour, 37 minutes from Fantastic Films, Occupant Entertainment, and Entertainment One. written by Corin Hardy, directed by Corin Hardy and Philippe Marino. That's probably flipped around. Those two probably wrote it. Corin directed it. Starring Joseph Mall, Bojana Novakovic, Michael Mikael Hatton, and Michael Smiley. Bunch of Irish people.
Yeah.
You making people nervous?
He's in the forest again, is he? He's trespassing. It's dangerous for him.
They believe that the forest that you're trampling on belongs to the Hollow.
Hollow.
Fairies, banshees, baby stealers.
So you a believer?
Mr. Hitchens, this is in London. Things here go bumping at night.
So this Irish family moves into a remote mill house. And they find themselves in a fight for survival with demonic creatures living in the woods. Sounds terrifying. And I was pleasantly surprised.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
I did too. Kevin, did you like it?
Yeah, there were a lot of parts that I did like about it. There were parts I didn't care for, but I think I'm, you know, right in the middle
it's,
of them
it's
both.
No, he never died though, right?
Right.
It was that good? Because I need to.
He hated it more than anything. I loved it.
Yeah, okay, I'll just watch it.
Yeah, yeah. And but the most important opinion, Tiffany, what did you think?
Which one?
The Hallow.
4.5. There were parts.
out of five, right?
Parts that dragged. Out of 10.
10.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like out of the Netflix rating. Because yeah. I rated it on there, yeah.
He never died, negative 11.
Oh, negative 11 for he never died. Get out of town. Yeah, well, I thought it was really strange. Like, you know, he's out at the beginning with the baby and he's like
doing research
and he's a tree doctor. And comes back and like he, you know, he has this sample and he's telling his wife about it. And then like he gets super horny talking about these bugs or whatever. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah. And the thing I thought was weird was, do you notice when she was like bending over or something? And then she goes, what did she say? Stop creep eyeing me or something like that. And it's like, what? Like wife would say that to their like, quit creepy eyeing me. And it's like, what? Like, don't you want him to look at you still? Like you're married now. Like,
well, maybe not after like talking about those bugs or whatever.
I know exactly.
He looks I thought that was kind of weird. I thought the creatures were
they
great.
Were great.
They were cool. Yeah. Were everything great. Was done really well. Like it was, and it was really cinematic, I thought. I thought it looked really cool. Like, that's what I was talking about, the ratings, is I noticed it had a 3 out of 5 star.
Okay.
I think it's 5 on Netflix.
Yeah,
but,
that's right.
But then I was like, what, 3? Like, I thought it was at least, like, I think I gave it a 4 or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I thought the acting was great.
Mm-hmm.
He was super... super good. I thought she was great because a lot of times, like, you know, I think directors in a horror film have the female characters just go way over the top.
Yeah.
And I thought Corin Hardy is a great director. I thought he did great with this Bojana Novakovic, and she is fantastic in it. It's really good. But I was like, as soon as you saw the creatures, I was like,
yeah,
this is super
cool. That
was
cool. Awesome.
It was, you know, yeah. kind of Pan's Labyrinth.
Like, was the first time we saw him when he took a photo? Or yeah. when it's a photo? Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
They were well, the creatures were well done, and the whole, like, nothing was insanely over the top or cheesy. That's what I loved.
Yeah,
and, like,
agreed.
Yeah.
What do we think about the... So, we try to, like, stay away from spoilers, and especially with this one, like, it just came out.
Okay. Yeah.
So. And you know, we can talk about what's in the trailer. The trailer, if you watch the trailer, doesn't show a lot of what happened. Because I was like completely shocked about the turn it took with him. I loved the flaming scythe. Was it last week we had a discussion about a scythe or something on the show, or 2 weeks ago?
I think somebody
that was
like
cool.
said.
Oh, it was.
During,
it was
during the questions.
It was Rachel last week. Yeah,
using it as a torch.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah,
torch / weapon. I thought that was really cool. The one thing that there are two things that I didn't love about the film. I didn't like how it would jump, like right when, you know, something badass was going to happen or like some major action was going to happen, it jumped to the other character. Like when he was going to chop a head off or something, and then before it even showed anything, it immediately jumped to his wife running through the woods. And that, and it did that, you know, quite a few times. It drove me crazy. I didn't like that. Did anyone, like, did that stand out anyone? Didn't even notice?
I didn't notice that. Should we talk about what we didn't like?
Yeah, go for it. I mean, yeah, if there were some things you didn't like,
so
for sure.
So one little specific thing that I didn't like was, you know how, like, they set it up and it's always, like, transparent. You can read through all this. Like, with the guy, the neighbor or the guy that was, like, warning them.
Right.
That, like, oh, get off that property. It's, like, whatever. It's haunted or just whatever. The thing was even my girlfriend was like, oh, that guy's going to end up being, like, actually good.
Right.
He's going to actually end up, like, saving them or something that. I kind of didn't like when she went for help there, like, how he was still, like, a dick, basically. Like, he was like, no, get out of here. Like, it's like they should have either had him be completely evil and messed up, or he did end up helping her in some way or something.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was weird when she went to go to his house for help. Like, he was just like, no, get out of here. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I thought that felt weird because it was like it didn't choose really, like, one way or the other. It just kind of, like, left it weirdly in the middle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't evil, but he was just like, get out of here.
He
like,
was just a dick.
Yeah. It was. I thought that was weird.
That was kind of weird.
And then something else happened where, wasn't it something with the car? Remember, like, they took over the car and, like, is this a spoiler?
No, it's fine.
So, they take over that car and then it breaks down. And then all of a sudden, like, something, like, I know they cleared it or whatever, but then it worked again or something. Right. It was something like how, like, all of a sudden, or something like they went back outside and all of a sudden the monsters weren't there. Like, and it was like, well, where are those monsters now? Like, I don't know.
Was it like when he got shoved in the trunk?
Yeah, it was something where, like, there was no reason that it was cleared up and there were no monsters later for some reason or something. And I thought that was kind of weird, but that's just me being nitpicky, I guess. Like, does that make sense? Like, they were getting all, like, bombarded by the monsters, but then later they were just out in the open and there was nothing around. And it was like, well, why aren't they here now? I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I know what you're talking about. When he was stuck in the trunk, he breaks through the back seat and, like, you know, rescues his son, but they're gone.
Yeah, I guess I just didn't get that. Like,
yeah, that is kind of strange.
But then it was fine. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there's some...
That was very nitpicky.
Like, cool, you know, minor transformation scenes I thought were really cool. I mean, it was no, like, American Werewolf in London or The Fly. But, you know, I thought the makeup was pretty cool.
Yeah, all that stuff and the effects and all that, the monsters.
Speaking of the effects, the other thing that kind of bothered me, I thought the graphics were a little cheesy at the end, like when the baby, like, burned up in the sun or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it got a little cheesy. But other than that, like, the monsters looked real.
Yeah,
like,
they were cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And then, like, that like, neat, the stab in the eye thing. I won't give away anything.
That was... I was kind of wanting to see something, like, that would make me throw up a little bit. But at the same time, I was like, oh, thank God I didn't see that. I thought that was really cool, though.
Have you ever thrown up from seeing something in a movie?
No. I would never. I don't think I would ever. I've seen some really disgusting shit.
Yeah.
Nothing I've ever, even in real life, seen in real life made me throw up.
Just mainly smells. Like, I think bad smells and then also, like, snot things will make me gag or throw up. Yeah.
What? So, when are they going to start releasing movies, kind of like scratch and sniff movies, where it's like 4D? So, you know,
odors,
the characters
come out.
Pop out to you, but then you start smelling stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to see those. I've never even seen a 3D movie, let alone.
I think it'd be like it would have to be like a 3D printer of odors. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it would have to be some machine that can create, like,
so
every possible smell with the blending of, it would be like an RGB, but of smells or something. I'd like
to have a machine like that in my home.
Yeah. All right. So, Tony, what we do, we grade on a 1 to 10 scale, and I give The Hallow a 7.
Okay, I give it, and this is like out of just this genre pretty much, like, just specifically, or is this just like as a film in general?
Whatever you want to do.
Okay, I'll go for this
genre.
How well
you liked it.
I'll say for what it is, meaning like that specific genre.
Yeah.
I would say the same. Yeah, actually seven or seven and a half, or what? I'll just say seven to keep it solid. But yeah, I would say leaving room for improvement, but I thought it was really good. Like, I liked it.
Yeah,
but
it was cool. Kevin?
I am going to give it a six.
A six?
Yeah.
Six and a half is the average. I'll take that. That's fine. You know,
yeah,
after
those creatures were awesome in that film. I think that was definitely my favorite part was
the
makeup. Yeah.
Did you guys watch the trailer at all before watching the movie?
No.
I didn't know anything about it either.
I didn't know it was a creature film.
See,
I thought it was like a haunted woods type thing.
Watch the trailer and you don't know it's a creature film. No. So that's why I was super. I mean, I guess that's a bit of a spoiler for
this
people.
It was a nice surprise, though.
It was, and the creatures are good.
And the most I had noticed is when you said to watch that, I went to Netflix and went to it, and I was like, oh yeah, I've seen that cover like a lot. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like when you've scrolled through everything and you see something, I'm like, oh yeah, I've looked at that like a million times, but I never clicked on it. It was almost kind of fun because, like, since we had to watch it so that we could talk about it, I was like, oh, that's cool. It like forces me to watch. Like, I probably would have never played it for some reason, but I actually kind of liked that.
Well,
it's like it made me watch something that I wouldn't necessarily.
Yeah, something different.
Yeah, yeah. So that was awesome.
Cool.
My predecessor in his job hired a man named Charles Grady as the winter caretaker. And he came up here with his wife and two little girls, I think about 8 and 10. And he had a good employment record, good references. And from what I've been told, I mean, he seemed like a completely normal individual. But at some point during the winter, he must have suffered some kind of a complete mental breakdown. He ran amok and he killed his family with an axe. Stacked them neatly in one of the rooms of the West Wing, and then he put both barrels of a shotgun in his mouth.
Well, don't do that, Tony.
I'm more of just awkwardly angling it so only one of the barrels is in.
I see. Well, hey, man, thanks for a lot for coming over.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Everybody, make sure to head over to Tony's website, Tony Bonacci, that's 2 C's, .com, and just catch up on everything he's working on. Good luck on finishing up this new film.
Thank you.
Congratulations on all the festivals. That's super awesome, man. And good luck with the new recording, with the Benningtons. Looking forward to everything.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks a lot for having me on, you guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is it. We are done. Thank you to Kevin and Tony and Donnelly Family Reunion for our theme music and featured music tonight. Remember to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. You can listen to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, and bandepod.com. Follow the Scariest Shit playlist on Spotify. Tune in next week as our good friend and comedian Mike Perry stops by for the big show. And please remember, a mental mindfuck can be nice. See you next week. Go Cubs!
Is part of the B&E Network, brought to you by B Movies and eBooks.com.